He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I picture like the Lakers game ops people being like, Vando, cover your chain. We're doing like the pregame. we have like the drapes down.
Yeah.
And we can't, like, a whole section of the arena can't see the video because your chain is providing a glare. They just cover it up.
Yeah.
No, I would love to see Vando back out there. I haven't heard very many good things, and I don't think it's good that the beginning of January has come and gone, and the only update that we have on Vando is, well, he's progressing.
But
to what or to when? Who knows? But he's progressing.
He participated in non-contact practice.
Sure. So. Yeah. So did you and I, Raj.
All right.
Next one is Justin again. No wonder ratings are down. The Celtics shot 57 threes tonight. Tatum took 17. Jason Tatum took 17 threes. Oh, yeah. Hauser took 11. All of Hauser's 11 shots were threes. Derek White took 10. People don't want to watch that. So, I was watching the Cleveland game, and actually I was listening to the LFR pod. They did a good job of explaining this, and they were saying how, like, all of the Lakers actions were like trying to get into the paint and trying to create opportunities at the rim, and how everything that Cleveland was creating was trying to create 3-point opportunities. And that to me is the problem. Like, I don't think modern basketball, where you have these offenses that have these, Donovan Mitchell is one of the most exciting athletes of our time. He's this like 6'1", maybe 6-foot tall guy.
Bulldozer.
Can get to the rim and elevate 40 something inches off of the ground. And we just don't see that very much from him anymore. Like, he basically, if he gets into the paint, he's looking to get in there, collapse the paint, and then kick the ball out to, like, George Niang. And I'm like, look, anything that had that, any version of offense that creates more opportunities for George Niang and less opportunities for Donovan Mitchell to do cool Donovan Mitchell things at the rim, I'm not okay with, right? And yet, that is 100% the way that Cleveland should be playing. It is 100% the way that Boston should be playing. Statistically and analytically, those are that's the way that, like, the sport should be played. If as the point of playing the sport is to win basketball games, that's how you're supposed to do it. And that's where we had eventually arrived at in baseball, where, like, you had these crazy shifts and you have, you know, these wild, like, homer and strikeout numbers, and you had like really exciting parts of baseball were cut out because the nerds had kind of figured out how to win baseball games. And I think the nerds have kind of figured out how to win basketball games. And we need to, like, in baseball's case, they saw that and they were like, this is not a fun product to watch. Our ratings continue to dip. Is there anything that we could possibly do to address the way that the sport is being played to make it more exciting, a television product? And I think the NBA at some point is going to have to figure out a way to make more of an exciting television product. And the Boston Celtics shooting 63 pointers is absolutely insane. That is not good for the sport.
Yeah, it's tough to kind of, you know, analyze that, I guess. And it's clear that, you know, fans want dunks and they want, you know, more high, you know, exciting level plays. But I still think there's a way to sell that in a way that's, you know, digestible for the fans, other than just telling them they should not be shooting more threes, because that's not happening. That's not changing. They're going to continue shooting threes.
No, I think if baseball, the most, like, hardcore, tradition oriented sport is able to take a look at things and be like, all right, we gotta really change some stuff up. Basketball should be able to too.
Yeah. I don't know if you watched shared the clip, but Charles Barkley just went in on JJ Redick and they were doing the highlight tape. You know, TNT kind of goes over the game they were watching, and Charles Barkley just attacking JJ Redick's comments on how, you know, the media is the reason that the game is the ratings are down. And I thought Charles just made JJ's point. He was, you know, during a highlight clip of a game that was going on, he was just completely attacking JJ. So I just think there's a way to sell that, Anthony, better than just like, yes, it's true, their dunks are better, but also Cleveland plays a beautiful style of basketball. Like, you watch that and it's ball movement, it's art, it's very Spurs 2014-ish type moves. Jared Allen was dominating.
Nobody liked the sports, the Spurs. Nobody liked them.
Okay, but like, Jared Allen was dominating inside. He was, you know, doing the post play or doing the like old school type of basketball, the ruggedness. Bryce,
like, who are the most popular players in the history of basketball? It's the wings that like dribbled in from the 3-point line, took a couple dribbles, and then went out and dunked on Sean Bradley and Yao Ming and every other stiff person who was standing under the basket. Like nobody was like, oh man, I can't wait to see. Sure. I don't know. Eric Dampier dunk tonight. Like, no, nobody was interested in that. Like, it was like, go out, like Vince Carter, I want to see you take a couple dribbles and go dunk on Alonzo Mourning. Kobe, I want to see you take a couple dribbles. And I remember when Yao Ming first got into the league, it was like every wing collectively got together. It was like a group text, which wasn't even a thing back then. But it was like a group text. It was like a group message thing that they were like, hey man, are you gonna get Yao tonight? I see that you got Houston on your record. You got Houston on your schedule now. You're gonna get him, right? It's the same thing when like Sean Bradley was like, everybody took turns like trying to dunk on these 7-4 people. Because it looked really cool. And like, you know, now, like, there was a play tonight where Shaedon Sharpe was about to, like, he had his arm back here like this. And I was like, oh, and this guy, like, you know, I know Lakers insane fans probably haven't seen very many Shaedon Sharpe games or whatever.
Dunk one of the absolute best
dunkers in the sport.
Yeah.
And he goes up, he's like ready to dunk it. And he's like, oh no, I see a 3-point shooter out there. And he kicked it out. And I'm like, you know, and it's just, we need to rid that from the sport, like find a way to get rid of that in the sport. And I, again, this is where it's tough because you're objectively right, Raj, that's how the sport should analytically be played. If the point is just to win basketball games, the stuff that Boston, the stuff that Golden State, the stuff that like these 3-point heavy teams are doing, that's how you win. That's how you win via math. However, everybody fucking hates math. Nobody likes math. You know, engineers probably love the way that the NBA is played right now, because it is just like, it is just sheer practicality. Every possession is just like, you know, retrofitted to be the most efficient that it could possibly be, but it's not. And like the other thing too is, I think, you know, people are saying, you know, oh well, if you really know what you're watching, it's really entertaining. And it's like, but that's, you don't want to like specialize the sport. You don't want to make it so that like your average viewer is saying like, oh, this is supposed to be exciting. And you got like the super nerds about basketball. It's like, oh my God, do you see like the Spain action that they're running and it leads to this corner too? You have this pin down screen. And you got this great opportunity in the corner. Right. Like, it's great that like for the people who are that passionate about the sport to be able to like love the sport in that way. That's awesome. I'm not taking anything away from that. I'm just saying though that like if like the like part of the reason that like ratings are dipping in the way that they are is because the average person turns on, and like part of it too is that like it's 82 games and it's too many games and it's really difficult to care about a one of 82. But like, it's even more difficult to care about one of 82. I feel like if you tune in and it's like, it used to be you would see these insane athletes. You would see the Anthony Edwards of the world dribble in and dunk on people at least a few, or try to dunk on people at least a few times a game. Instead, you have Jason Tatum, who was almost as good of an athlete as Anthony Edwards, shooting. What did he shoot? 17 threes. I refuse to believe that's real. I got to look that up.
That is 100%.
If it's real, then that's a bad thing.
But you know who does love math is the Boston Celtic fans, because I'm sure they don't give a crap how they win.
17 threes.
Yes,
he did.
And
unbelievable.
They won. It's wrong. They won. Like, that's so great. I'm sure, you know, Boston Celtic fans are more fine with it than are fine with the math and the game that they're playing in terms of how it works out. And I think my counter to you would be, I think who's the biggest star of the last decade? Obviously LeBron's in there, but the other guy is Steph Curry. It's like, it's all jump shooting as well. Steph Curry's not dunking on nobody. He's not going in trying to,
but he doesn't finish. Look like somebody who should be dunking. That's the difference, is that Jason Tatum looks like somebody who should be dunking. Anthony Edwards looks like somebody who should be dunking. If LeBron was shooting 17 threes a game, he'd be like, that's a waste of being that athletic.
Imagine LeBron comes in and just he gets drafted as the most craziest athlete ever and is just like, nope.
He's just like, but that's what I mean. Like, that's all I'm saying. And again, I'm not fully dismissing what you're saying. I'm acknowledging what you're saying. That yes, the Herm Edwards, you play to win the game, right? Like that is the way that you do it. And that's why I think the league actually needs to step in and find some way to disincentivize that approach to the sport.
Sure. And so I think they've tried with the take foul, right? That's to create more transition offense. I think they need to do more things like that to, like, I don't know if you're a foul down three guy. I don't know if you're in that pool of people who say you should foul down three. I hate it. I think it's terrible for the sport. I think being able to foul down three completely changes the excitement of the sport. And number two, I think we don't sell the sport correctly. Like, Jimmy Butler trade news dominated today with like seven good games on. Like again, Shams is doing
his job. He's played seven good games this season.
Right. They got blown out by the Pacers today. And number one, on every single screen is Jimmy Butler requests a trade when he requested one 3 weeks ago. It's like, to me, that's the stuff, the transactional hype that we do to like second round picks that got traded, or, you know, like, even I love the DFS trade. We didn't get it in tonight, but that like dominated for 3 weeks. DFS is a nice player. Shake Milton's a really good player as well. I liked the trade. It was good. But like, it just, those type of things to me dominate the conversation, and the stars kind of lose their appeal as well. Anthony Edwards should be propped up everywhere. That dude's a freaking superstar. But we live in an era where he's, you know, already being told like, oh, is he good enough? Like, you know, can he put the ball in his hands? Like, he's like 23. Like, you know,
I saw Chuck tonight make the leap from like, he shoots too many threes to he's a bad leader.
It's like, what are we doing? What are you doing?
That's
like,
crazy. I'm the guy who just went on the rant that I rant on.
Like, it's just insane.
Chuck, you're making it really difficult to agree with you, buddy. Like,
I still think Steph shoots too many threes. Like, he'll still die on that hill. He's like, Steph shoots too many threes.
But that's the thing, though, is that like, he can be objectively right and wrong there. Because he is objectively wrong because Steph won as much as he won by breaking the math of the sport and by re-engineering the math of the sport. But he can also be objectively right by what that has done to the sport since, where I think there is too much of a focus on three-point shooting. That's what makes this whole debate so maddening and so fascinating at the same time, because the loudest ends of the spectrum are going to be, you know, the ends of the spectrum are always going to be the loudest, and they're going to be the most dismissive. And I think the practical solutions sit somewhere in the middle. And I think the best version and the least disingenuous version of this conversation is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
I think it's tuned out because you have Chuck sitting there saying that Anthony Edwards is a bad leader because he shoots 13 threes a game. Like, it's all become nonsense. I know that you just said how much you hate the transaction of the sport and the impact that has on the sport. I'm sorry, Rush.
Here we go. Next. Here we go. Oh, what a transition. Beautiful.
It was in it. I look at it.
It's a perfect 2-1-0 break.
Have you heard any recent noise between LA and
after that game we just watched? Just Austin was incredible. Max Christie drops 30. Dorian Finney-Smith is like a plus 11. Shake Milton plays well. LeBron drops 40. Have you heard anything about a center that doesn't get minutes on the team we just played?
I mean, he doesn't get minutes because they're trying to keep him, like, clearly trying to keep him healthy to be able to trade him.
So what does that say about the guy that you're trying to get? That he can't even run back and forth for 10 minutes without them worrying that his ankles will crack.
Yeah.
This is the guy that you're asking about. Yeah.
So what do you think about Rob?
That's what I feel like they did to Tim Legler when he would go up. He'd be like, yeah, guys, like, we just played a beautiful bat. Like, are we gonna talk about the game? And then it's like, all right, showtime. Tim, what do you think about LeBron's trade request? What? That's not what
LeBron, I wrote. LeBron, did you make a trade request? Yeah. So we'll go ahead and jot Raj down as a nay on the yay or nay votes for Robert Williams. No, I heard anything about that. Like I said earlier, I think the Lakers are very skeptical when it comes to whether or not they should trade for a center at all. And they are extremely skeptical of a somewhat expensive center who hasn't shown any ability whatsoever to stay on the court. All right, next question here comes from Alicia Clark-Jones. What do you think is going on with Rui? He's been horrible offensively and defensively. Tough time for him to fall into a slump, seeing as they just traded for his replacement, potentially in the starting lineup. I think that might actually have like a weird thing. He's always struck me as kind of a mental player. And I think, you know, them trading for Dorian and JJ, I think if the season started and you had a blank slate to work with, I think he would start Dorian over Rui. I think part of it is that like Rui is still playing out of position and they're asking him to do things that like, you know, are small forward things that they're asking a power forward to do. And like you said earlier, Raj, it might just be a slump. What do you think is going on?
Yeah, I mean, he's missed his last 7 threes, and he's still shooting 42% from 3 on the season. It's funny, we did the whole Max Christie, and you mentioned Domin's tweet of Max, the game is slowing down. I feel like the game is speeding up for Rui in these last few games. Like, and I was there for the Cleveland game, and just everything was a step faster than he wants to go. And he's a player that you can really tell when he's in a confident rhythm. Like, even his jump shot, you can really tell when he's kind of on point, and tonight it was just way off. Something about the way he's catching in, he's not hopping into it. I'm not sure. Again, I have some grace for, you know, a player. He just dropped 21 on the Kings 2 nights ago. It was a huge part of that win. He had 18 on Christmas with 5 threes against them. So it's not like he's been in a slump that long. It's just, it's not a very thankful job. You know, you have 2 bad games.
It's just like brutal timing because they just traded for Dorian. And
right.
I think there are a lot of Lakers fans and a Lakers coach who would prefer to see Dorian out there in those starting minutes. And I think this slump coming at that time where Dorian is a game high plus 11 in this one. And he does things that like, man, I would be really intrigued to see Dorian and Max start games together.
Yeah. You know?
And like hell, in the very first game that Dorian played, the guy that he subbed in for was Rui. And
right. And Rui was off.
Kind of tough when like the team that you play for kind of sort of just trades for your potential replacement.
Right. And, you know, Rui's minutes at 23 tonight. And I think, you know, it's interesting to see where those will go. I think JJ's people are asking for more Dorian minutes, but I think JJ's trying to find a way to play Dorian without taking Rui completely out of rhythm. This is a side comparison I thought of tonight. We don't have to get into it, Anthony, but Dorian reminds me a lot of Caruso. Like, I didn't see that first when I was watching him, but it just, the plus minus stuff kind of put me on to, he does a lot of the same stuff. They're in the same place. They're in the right position all the time defensively. And I know this question was about Rui, but you know, just that comparison hit me, but I think Rui will be fine. He's the offensive guy who, if you have to put him to the bench, you can put him to the bench. I think that'll probably be a better kind of scoring role for him as well. But yeah, two bad games. It's early to be like, get him off my team, which is, I've seen already. It's like, man, it's been two games. Let him sit with the fact that his replacement got traded here. You know, it's a strong thing to kind of have to consider. For that spot.
I do think though that like the Lakers have a higher view of him than they should, of Rui than they should, you know. Yeah. And you know, there's this kind of reluctance that I've sensed to trade him. Now it's tough because like if you trade Rui, you have to trade him for a wing. It has to be a wing upgrade that you're trading him for. And you know, you kind of look out there like, what are the wing upgrades? Like Cam Johnson is definitely a wing upgrade, but is he a first and then some stuff enough of an upgrade over Rui, you know? And then beyond him, it's like, is Kuz enough of an upgrade beyond, you know, over over Rui? Jeremy Grant, is Brandon Ingram? Ingram would be, but like, again, like, you trade for Brandon Ingram, you're moving another rotation player, and then you immediately have to trade pay Brandon Ingram in a way that really prohibits what you would be looking to do elsewhere on your roster moving forward. So it's complicated, you know. It's a really difficult spot that the Lakers find themselves in. Now, if the Lakers got good news about Vando, and turned Rui and stuff into Bruce Brown, I'd be intrigued.
Yeah, Bruce Brown has not been good, has not been healthy. That's interesting. I could see it, but I'm not there yet.
All right. continuing on the trade. I don't want to end the show there. Just Ron sighing into the mic.
No way. There's no way. Simons? Lonzo?
Lonzo intrigues me. If he could stay healthy, Lonzo would objectively be. If he could stay, if I knew that Lonzo, if I could turn injuries off. Lonzo,
you have Vando on your bench, Anthony. What are you talking about? You have Jared Vanderbilt on your bench. You cannot stay healthy. You want to go trade for another guy that's extremely...
No, I just said if I could turn injuries off, Lonzo would be the perfect acquisition because he alleviates your initiation and ball handling issues. He's a phenomenal defender. He spaces the floor at the two spot. Is cool coming off of the bench or starting, and it would be a really cool story. All of that stuff. He would be like, I would be all on board with trading for Lonzo Ball. However, like you said, there's no indication that the guy's body is going to hold up over the course of an 82 game season, let alone the playoff games that come after the 82 game season.
My favorite thing about this question is who we getting with an exclamation point. Like, we didn't just make a trade 2 days ago. Like, can I see this team?
I had one of my, you know, going back and forth with a source the other day. With an agent going, you know, back and forth over like what I think is going to play out. This was about a week or so ago, maybe a week and some changes before the DFS trade. I said, you know, I think the Lakers get Dorian, Brown, and a big is how I think this transaction goes. The transaction window goes.
You mean Bruce Brown? Are you talking about Bruce Brown?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they got Dorian. He was the one I was probably surest about. And then Brown's tough though, because $23 million is difficult to trade for. You know, Yes, Brogdon's making like $22.5 million. That's difficult to trade for. Lonzo's making 20 something million bucks a year. That's also difficult to trade for. So, and if you trade for like any of those guys, they all have serious like reliability questions and availability questions. So, you know, we'll see which direction they go in. We have been talking here now for a while. This is what happened, Raj. This is what happens when like we don't record. We go like right. large chunks of times without.
I just want to close on this because
Raj, I'm telling you right now, if we had writers on the show, comedic writers on the show, after all of the like all of the not whining, but like all of the anguish that you've had towards trade rumors. If like you were like, all right, I just want to finish with like the kind of player that we need to get.
No,
that would have been the perfect way to end this episode. And I wish you had that kind of comedic timing because that would have been absolutely perfect.
It'd go against everything I, you know, believe in. But I just want to point this out because no one's brought this up. And with all these trade questions, there's another player we got in the deal named Shake Milton, who's actually playing really well as well. So I just want to point that out. He's a little bit more friskier than I thought defensively. There's some size there too. When you go from like Gabe Vincent as your backup guard, and he's a guy that's very much offensively lenient, which is nice. He comes out screens aggressive. Gabe's been a little bit aggressive, been more aggressive as the games have gone on. But just want to give him a shout out too. He's here. Like, these are the two guys that we just got them 3 days ago. Everyone's like, well, all right, now
it's like
go get Walker Kessler.
When the Lakers, when your favorite team trades for a player, like you become like half as interested in that player as you were before they were on your team, your favorite team. Unless it's like a superstar, right? Then like, you know, like Shohei, I just like can't stop thinking about the way that guy plays baseball. But like, yeah, it is funny how in this, like the way that the sport is covered, and I'm guilty of it too, because I love this stuff. I love roster tweaking and CBA, you know, nuances and opportunities and stuff like that. Like, I dig that stuff. But it's why, you know, I do think there's something to what you're talking about, where like interest in the sport itself has kind of waned because everybody has become these like fantasy GMs, and here we find ourselves. So, all right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge Podcast and this week's episodes of the Lakers Lounge Podcast. We are through the holiday season, so next week we'll be right back to your typical, you know, scheduled content as it goes, and as you guys kind of expect it. And I do want to thank everybody for kind of sticking with us through this weird holiday season and tuning in the way that you guys have. There are 1,800 of you guys watching or listening right now. Please do hit that subscribe button if you guys are here, or hit that like button if you guys are here as well. And yeah, get your questions in. I got to see the Lakers play tonight. When you guys are listening, they play again against Atlanta, and then I'm looking Sunday, they play against Houston. So Raj and I will be back after the Houston game to break that down, I believe. And then we'll do a mailbag on a different day later that week. So until then, and until the next time you guys hear from us, I'm Anthony Irwin. That was Raj Tripalu. This has been the Lakers Lounge. Have a great rest of your weekend. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys again on Sunday.